Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Season 3, episode 8 starts now. That means we're 8 weeks into 2023. Oh my goodness, where's the time going? I'm Brandon Davis, joined today by Aaron Perrine.
Massive show. You guys in the chat, y'all have me dying. Yeeks talk, and we're 1 minute in. Let's go.
We got Jamie Drack.
Good morning. I'm no longer recording from my closet. I feel wonderful to be out into the light.
Welcome back to the land of the living. You may notice that Jenna Anderson is not here with us today. That's because Jenna is talking to the cast of Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania today. So look for those on comicbook.com/Marvel. She's talking to Corey Stoll. She's talking to David Dasmalchi and a couple other wonderful individuals. There will be 4 total interviews by Jenna coming to comicbook.com/Marvel. Unfortunately, these are not on video, so you'll have to read them. Gosh, use the eyes there and the brain. I'm so sorry. But and also, I'm talking to Quantumania writer Jeff Loveness after this show. And if you are aware, Jeff is also writing a certain movie called, it rhymes with, Shmavengers the Shmang Shminesty. So see if we can get some answers out of that. Also not on video, so you'll have to stay tuned. We will have a video on Friday with some spoilery content with Peyton Reed and whatever I talked to Jeff Loveness about today that is spoilery, so stay tuned. But we have a big show today. We're going to talk about Quantumania at the top of the show. We got a lot of Marvel news to discuss because they're changing their strategy, it sounds like, and that's going to be a big chunk of today's show. And then we got we got Nova talk. Woo-hoo-hoo. We got Iron Man talk. Yeah. And we got a special guest, everybody. This guy is an absolute legend. You may know him from Walking Tall, Roll Bounce, Sons of Anarchy, Shameless, and plenty of other titles where his face has been shown on the screen. Or you might know him, every time I see this guy in public, it's like, oh my God, that's a guy from Holes. Yes, it is Zero, on Phase Zero. He has toured the world with some epic musicians, and as awesome as his career is, as awesome as his resume is, he is even more awesome as a person. I am so happy to have him on the show. I'm even happier to call him a friend. Please welcome to Phase Zero, everybody. I want to see the comment section go wild right now. Mr. Cleo Thomas.
What up? What up? What up, y'all? What's going on? I can't believe I'm actually on Phase Zero. Like, this is the moment for me. Like, I always see the clips, and I'm like, yo, will I ever get a chance to be there? And now I'm on Phase Zero. I love this.
I mean, I'm sorry that, you know, your career peak had to come, you know, now and not, you know, this is the moment. But congratulations, you made it.
Yes, I made it. I made it to Phase Zero. I get a chance to be here with you guys, talk all about all this great Marvel news that's coming out and Quantumania.
Should I just start? I was going to listen. I had some questions for you, but I could just start with what you think of Quantumania.
Oh, no. If you have questions, this is your show. This is your show. I'm just happy to be here.
Well, no, we'll get to the Quantumania talk. I don't want to put you on the spot right away. I want our audience to get to know you if for somehow they don't yet. Cleo, okay. You've been in and out of the Marvel circles, going to all these events and everything. I want to hear how you first got involved in this scene where you're surrounded by the Marvel Cinematic Universe and all the geek things we love at comicbook.com.
Man, I grew up a gigantic comic book fan first and foremost. I mean, I was just having this discussion with my brother where we knew comic facts as kids, but we don't remember how we figured those things out because there wasn't internet like that for us to just go and Google and figure out what the things were. But it came from, you know, the cartoons to the video games. I mean, the fact that there's a Marvel versus Capcom arcade cabinet in my room, like, that lets you know how real this is for me. Like, I am one of those kind of guys. Getting a chance to go, of course, to the premieres and you know, see the stars and see all the work that's been put in. And feel that energy from all the fans. You know, this it's an incredible experience. And fingers crossed one day that, you know, the worlds will just cross just right. An opportunity will meet and preparation will meet. And I get a chance to bring Jetstream to life. So, Marvel, before you get into anything else, Jetstream needs to make an appearance one day.
You know, Kevin Feige watches this show every week. So
I have been 2 feet away from Kevin Feige twice and I froze up.
Wait, you haven't met him yet?
I haven't met him yet, man.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Here's the thing. Listen, if we're both lucky enough to be at the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 premiere, I'm telling you right now, we got to make this happen.
Okay.
We got to make this happen. Kevin is like the easiest person in the world to talk to. It's unbelievable that I even, like, as I say this stuff, I feel so spoiled to even know that. But Kevin is like the nicest, classiest guy in the world. He's so easy to talk to. He's just a good guy. He'll immediately start asking you questions.
Okay.
He's
cool. I'll be ready for it. I've been there right now, like 2 feet away, and I was like, nah, not too much on my mind. I'll just go this way. That's all right. It's cool.
Walk up, bring the printed headshot, and just be like, here, listen.
That'll go over well. Do that.
I hear that's how you get a roll.
Absolutely not happening. No way. No way.
I think Pete's trying to sabotage you. It seems right. Now I think he has motives.
Well, I heard Kevin was looking at Cleo for Nova, and I was like, that's mine, bro. That's mine. That's mine.
Wow. BD. It was an honor. Just playing, that would be.
I would love that for you, man, because then I'd get to be friends with Nova. That'd be dope. So I know you've shared the screen with Black Adam and some other superheroes. Have you worked with anybody from the Marvel Cinematic Universe or any of the Marvel movies?
Yeah, I actually did a film called Remember the Days with Brie Larson quite some time ago. Now, we didn't share any screen time together, but we both were filming in somewhere in South Carolina. We were over there for like 2 months. And then I ran into Brie backstage at the D23 event because I was hosting the Disney Plus stage. And we saw each other in an immediate embrace, so it was cool to be able to connect with her. I'm like, yo, you're Captain Marvel. Like, that's pretty legit. So shout out to Brie Larson, man. Yeah, that I've worked with her. Of course, The Rock, of course, being Black Adam. So yeah, those would be the two on my resume that I've had the chance to work with in film.
So what's Brie Larson like when she flips the switch and goes into acting mode?
She's intense. She's a true thespian. And she's, I mean, you know, when the film that actually put her, what was the film that came out that kind of gave her where everyone had to just start paying attention to her amazing
Short-term
talent?
Short Term 12.
Thank you.
Short Term 12, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's been a G. So it was beautiful to be able to share time with her. And excited for, we just saw the poster drop not too long ago. And like that's not a fan-made poster. Like, that's an official poster, right?
Yeah.
That's so fire.
Now, here's the thing. Now the good posters, you're like, hold on, that has to be fan-made because the posters have gotten so ridiculous.
Yo, we used to see the cooler posters coming from the fans, and now it's like, no. All right. Okay, you guys had your fun. Now we're going to put out what it really needs to look like. And that poster looks dope. I'm excited.
Got one right. Yeah, the Marvels and the Guardians of the Galaxy 3, that first poster for Guardians 3, I loved it. So you went to D23. Also, I want to point out, Jamie went to D23 this year, too. We can't let that slide.
There it is.
Jamie, I don't know if she's ever mentioned that, but Jamie's been there. But you've been to a lot of these events. You didn't meet Feige. Have you met anybody at these events or interviewed anybody that stands out as like, all right, that was a cool moment. This was this guy, this girl was pretty dope.
You know, I had the opportunity to bring Taj Mahri on stage at my booth because we were celebrating the 25th anniversary of Smart Guy. And he let the crowd know that I beat him for the role of Zero in Holes. And I didn't, this was supposed to be about celebrating him. And of course, like I said it on stage, there would be no Cleo Thomas if it wasn't for Taj, because I grew up watching Smart Guy and I'm like, I can do that. Like, I know I can do that one day. And he let the audience know that, man. And that was a really, really special moment for somebody I looked up to give that moment back to me in that sense. So shout out to Taj Mahri, man.
That's dope, man. And that's the game. That's the game in the entertainment business. You got to put other people over because, you know, take an opportunity to put somebody else over. You're helping everybody out. And you're a good dude. You deserve it, man. So it doesn't surprise me somebody wanted to recognize you like that.
Thank you, brother. Thank
you,
man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Now, this might make or break if the audience here thinks you're a good dude, Cleo. Okay. But we've been pretty honest on our thoughts. I don't know if you listen, but we've been pretty honest and pretty mixed. What did you think of Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania?
I thought that this incredible cinematic film was okay. It was okay. It was okay. It was okay. Listen, I was never the biggest Ant-Man fan for me growing up. And this film, when it first started, like the very first one, it immediately gave a different view of like what we could be getting from Marvel. So I'm like, oh, we're going straight comedy. It's Paul Rudd. It's going to be completely different. Then we get to Quantumania, and I got to be honest, I just wanted to see Jonathan Majors beat the hell out of Paul Rudd, and my wish came true. So, yeah.
Oh, it came true at the very end with that one sleeve off, and you're like, wow, this dude really is in Creed 3.
Yeah. Let's give that man some credit for getting in the gym. We saw his work. I think he put out a video talking about his workout regimen or his schedule. And I don't think people understand how hard that really is to be shooting and filming, like being on set. You're on all kind of crazy hours. You have to put on the performance, eat in between takes, get your teeth clean so that like if you're doing like a period piece and you've got like chicken and something in your teeth, you can't have that. So he's got to get that out. Then bust over to the gym. Do it twice a day and continue getting the carbs up. Bro, you got it. You got it, man. Let him beat the hell out of everyone in the MCU. I'm fine.
it looks like 1,000 of him are about to beat up everybody in the MCU. So Quantumania, the movie made $120 million in its 4-day opening. Obviously that's the biggest for the Ant-Man trilogy so far. But if you compare 3-day openings, the first Ant-Man made $57 million, Ant-Man and the Wasp made $76 million, and Quantumania made $105 million. The movie has a 48% review score on Rotten Tomatoes and an 84% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's interesting. Critics are being pretty tough. Jamie didn't love it. I didn't love it. Jamie just loved it a little bit less than me even. I'm with you, Cleo. I thought it was okay. We found out on Twitter that Tony, Jamie's boyfriend, indeed did hate it, as Jamie predicted. Jamie, hold on. Let's stop there.
Tony has officially ranked Quantumania dead last in his entire MCU ranking, as I predicted. I knew he wouldn't like it. And my second watch, it is in my bottom three, with the potential to go even further down. I will say, though, on my second watch, MODOK did grow on me. I was laughing a lot at MODOK on the second go around. But I really think that this movie doesn't succeed at all in so many ways. I think it just looks like nothing and it feels like nothing. I didn't hate it. I don't hate any of these movies. I did give it a 3-star, but that a 3-star is the lowest for me as a Marvel goes. And I just feel like this movie should have been for me. Everything about it. So yeah, second watch was not more successful than the first watch, but I did predict Tony's reaction accurately.
Yeah, I thought it was just aggressively okay for me. I'm with you, Cleo. But I find it interesting. I've been, you know, on Twitter over the weekend, and I know my feed, and especially the Phase Zero feed, is largely Marvel fans. The people I follow, the Phase Zero community, we want to like this stuff. But I see a lot of people are really liking this movie, and I got texts from friends who are not, you know, in our Phase Zero community. And before the show, I talked about this. I've talked about it on the show before. I call it the Uber driver test. What would some random person who shows up at your house say? You know, not the person who has any taste influenced by the kind of people you keep around and kind of magnetized to, just the random person. And I do think it seems like the random people, like the casual moviegoer, is enjoying this. And also a lot of hardcore Marvel fans are enjoying this. I'm seeing negativity too, but I really have enjoyed seeing so much positivity around this film. I mean, Aaron, have you talked to anybody kind of outside of our bubble or seen anything, any reactions that has helped you see what the consensus is on this film?
So most of the people I talk to who don't watch this stuff, like don't have this as their job or whatever, like it. It's fine. You know, I said to Jim Viscardi, I'm like, I think we have a Venom situation on here where all the critics are like, and then like normal people are like, ah, I like Paul Rudd. He's charming. He's fun. Jonathan Majors is super jacked. I'm going to see it for reasons. I'm going to see this movie for the plot. Like, that's what it feels like in a lot of the people who are not, like, following the stuff religiously, too. So I don't think that I don't know if we're just out of step. We'll get more into my thoughts on that later in the show about, like, people who have this as our jobs and how we evaluate these things versus, like, casual people. But it's been much more positive. I was like, wow, I thought so. Like, I made this Spy Kids joke, but people like Spy Kids. They make 4 of them. They made like a million of them, you know?
Yeah. Cleo, what are you seeing from people in your life, their thoughts on Quantumania?
So same thing Aaron just said, like the casual moviegoer who's not all the way into this, not the super fans, not the people who own, you know, Funko Pops of these characters, they're enjoying it. I think they just enjoyed to have a story told them and go on a ride. Visually, the movie's incredible. Like, that's what people go to cinema for, you know? So people are definitely not giving the negative overall vibe of the film. I think it's coming from more of us as the people who are the super uber duper fans. Like, we see Jonathan Majors and we're just like, yeah, like Thanos version 2.0, destroy everything. It's like, okay, well, we got to build to that, maybe? Let us, like, build to it, maybe? That's what I'm feeling from the crowd.
And for me, it's like, I feel like I keep getting, like, my words thrown back at me because I said, slow down the releases, and then they were like, we're delaying Nova. More on that in a moment. I said, you know, tell us where we're going. They announced Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars, and I was like, we're getting there too fast. So I don't know. There's a reason I don't write these things. There's a reason I don't do all this, but I'm just here as an audience member who wants to love this stuff and very much still loves a lot of this stuff. But it's just interesting because you think about Thanos and the Guardians of the Galaxy debuted, and we were all like, oh, they're going to be the next Avengers movie. And they weren't. They were not in Age of Ultron. They were they waited to cross over with everybody till Infinity War. And they didn't even meet everybody in Infinity War. But it was like, you know, you had these pieces that were introduced, and then it just felt like the Infinity Stones took their time. Whereas Loki now and Quantumania have both introduced Kang, and in both cases ended the same way, where we're just like, well, here's the concept. Just stay tuned because, you know, maybe we'll develop. I don't know. Like I said on last week's show, guys, the multiverse, I just don't care about other universes yet. And I do think they need to make me care about other universes. And the only one I care about is 616, as Christine Palmer from 838 called it. And I don't know. Stakes don't feel there for me yet, other than maybe these characters that we follow in the main universe getting killed off. And I'm like, well, then go ahead, wipe out the other universes if y'all got to preserve yourselves.
Which post-credit scene did we first get introduced to Thanos in?
Avengers 1.
Yep. Wow.
Got like 1 second of Thanos in Avengers 1. He didn't even speak, turned his head. Then you got him. So 2012, you got Thanos turning his head. 2014, you got Thanos sitting in a chair in Guardians of the Galaxy. 2015, you got Thanos putting on the empty Infinity Gauntlet in the Age of Ultron post-credit scene. And then 2018, you got Thanos hunting the stones. And I'm pretty sure that's all the appearances of Thanos, until Endgame. I don't think he was in anything else.
Wow.
I think that was a smarter route to take because... I think that, like, you know, we've talked like, is this king really dead and all that, but it's like, we just got a lot of something and then it's done, but is it not done? And I'm already like, good thing Jonathan Majors is really good, because otherwise I wouldn't be excited, but he's really good. But I feel like threequels are in their flop era. I didn't like Clerks 3. I didn't like Halloween Ends, the third Jurassic World, you know, and it's like Creed 3 as the only movie left that has the potential to save threequels. And because Quantumania, I thought it was going to be that. So Creed 3, come on, please.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is coming to save us all.
That's, I can't even, like, that's like, I have no worry about that movie. Like, not even like a part of me is worried about that.
I'm just James nervous. Gunn. I want to like it. It's so important to me that I like that movie that if it's not good, I'm going to be more heartbroken than if they kill everybody.
Whew. That trailer has me so nervous. I'm not going to lie. That trailer, when I see Quill screaming, I'm like, who's dying? Who's dying that has Quill like that irate and out of
everyone.
His mind? Really?
Everyone.
That's your theory? Everyone's got to go?
Yeah, I hope not. I don't know. I think Drax and Rocket are going.
I did that. Yep. Those are my two guesses originally. Yep.
All right. So before we take a quick break and talk about the Disney, the new approach to phase 5 and 6, Cleo, I got two more questions for you. What was the best project in your opinion in phase 4?
Best project in phase 4. Is Shang-Chi considered phase 4?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taste.
I got a rep for the home team, man. Big shout out to Christopher Clark Cowan. He worked on there as the action director, one of the action director and designers as far as all the fight scenes. And we did a project called UALA together. You guys can check that out on YouTube if you want. And I really enjoyed Shang-Chi. I really did. And I fell in love with Loki, man. I was hooked.
Look every at time. Taste. That, Cleo, that you're winning song, right now.
Bro, when that theme song hit, I was locked in. I'm like, yo, what's next? I really enjoyed Loki. And then the build up to the final episode, and then, you know, we're getting ready to see Kang and he's not the Kang the Conqueror. You know what I mean? Like, he was a whole totally different vibe. So it completely switched it up for me. I'm like, wait, what is happening here? And his performance was wild. Then we see how it all ends. And now we got Loki season 2 on the way. So those are my two. I got to see Shang-Chi and Loki.
Did we just become best friends? You want to go do karate in the garage? All right. Last question. What's your most anticipated title for phase 5 now that Quantumania is out of the way?
Ooh. Okay. I'm looking at my list because I had to pull this up. We got Guardians of the Galaxy like we just mentioned. We got the Marvels. We've got Captain America, New World Order, Thunderbolts, Blade, Deadpool 3, Secret Invasion, Ironheart, Echo, Agatha. I forgot about Agatha. I forgot about Agatha.
Taking us back.
Now he's speaking to me.
I forgot about Agatha. Oh, crap. Okay. I'm going to go with... We've had too many delays with Blade, and now I'm getting upset. Okay? But like, I had a Blade poster in my room as a kid. Like, my mom let me watch that movie. Like, that's wild to me. All that killing and the vampires and stuff. But Blade was my guy. I dressed up as Blade for Halloween that same year. So when they announced that Mahershala Ali would be playing Blade, I'm like, let's do this. I met Wesley Snipes 2 months after the announcement. And I was like, oh, my God, that's him. I'm going to go with Blade. But also, in direct tie, Deadpool 3.
Ooh. Yeah.
Deadpool 3 has the potential to do something. It's him. It's him. He can do whatever he wants. Hugh Jackman's back?
Yeah.
I never thought he put the claws back on. Logan was a great send-off, but he's back? That means more X-Men, which I've only waited for.
This won't even be his last one. You can bet on it. There's no way they don't bring them all back for Secret Wars. There's no way. There's no way.
As far as all the X-Men?
Just as many actors from previous Marvel franchises as they can get.
Wow. You
see, that Secret Wars poster is going to be insane. It's going to be insane. I can't wait. I'm going to hunt down as many autographs as I possibly can.
I didn't think about that, but yo, they got to go pull everybody.
Do it.
Everybody. So let's break that down. What's my man's name? Liev Schreiber, who played Sabretooth?
Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth is the first one that comes to mind for you.
Yes. Like, I love
you're going back to the first X-Men movie immediately.
Yes, bro. Like, he did a dope portrayal for Sabretooth. When I grew up watching the X-Men cartoons, and every time Wolverine and Sabretooth got into it, I was like, yeah, hell yeah. But you want him on the poster? He's gonna come out of nowhere?
No. I'm talking about it. Bring him back. But I'm saying you could have every MCU character who's still there. I'm talking Captain America, Shang-Chi, Hawkeye and Hawkeye, Black Widow, you know, everybody, Black Panther, put everybody in there. But then you can have Hugh Jackman, you can have Halle Berry, you can have James Marsden, hopefully not Ty. Sorry, Ty, love you, but preferably James Marsden, because why not? Maybe Famke Janssen, maybe Sansa. I don't care. You could bring in Nicolas Cage. You could bring them all. Bring in Ben Affleck. Let's go.
Yo, Will I Am. I know you're somewhere.
Yes,
out there, bro.
Yes. Give us Channing Tatum. Let's go.
Yo, shout out to Channing Tatum, man. He definitely sat on that Gambit role for quite some time, and we didn't get that. But
I remember one time I was talking to somebody who was involved with the film before, when it was like getting ready to move, and they were telling me, they were hyping how good Channing Tatum's Cajun accent was going to be. And I was like, really? And they were like, oh yeah, he's doing a Cajun accent. It's going to be awesome. I was like, well, all right, it's going to be a movie. This is going to be a movie. And then I was wrong. It turned out it wasn't going to be a movie. So on that note, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break. Everybody, we come back, we're going to talk about how these phase 5 and phase 6 plans with Marvel Studios, they're going through quite a shakeup right now. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. See you there.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to Phase Zero. For everybody who watches this live, you can hear the Zemo dance music during the 1 minute break. So I don't know if that music makes it to podcast form. But yeah, we got the Zemo music playing on the breaks just to get the dance party going, keep everybody fired up. And I'm proud of the comment section for recognizing Peter put in the work to find that song and play it on today's show. And we haven't gotten taken down off the air yet, so we appreciate you for letting us do that, Disney. All right, welcome back to Phase Zero. BD here, Jamie and Aaron are with me, and our special guest, Cleo Thomas. So we're about to chop up how Disney is shaking things up here. There's been a lot of news about Phase 5 and Phase 6 because a movie came out, Kevin Feige did interviews, and then more and more grapevine stuff started, you know, being heard. So they're slowing things down. I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but we're going to go into a lot of detail here today. So Loki and Secret Invasion are the only two Disney Plus shows reportedly that are definitely coming this year. I for sure thought we were getting Ironheart. And when we did our 2023 hype rankings, we also included Echo and Agatha just in case. Those seemed like long shots, Echo especially, or Agatha especially. But then Echo, we were like, maybe early next year. Now it seems like, okay, Loki season two, probably going to be the first show we get this year. Secret Invasion. I thought, you know, I thought for sure by now we'd be watching the first episode of Secret Invasion, given the rate of release, the pace of release of the previous shows. Now it seems Loki might not come until, you know, late spring, early summer. Secret Invasion might be a fall show. The Marvels just got pushed back to November 10th. It was supposed to release in July. Got pushed back to November 10th when it dropped that awesome new poster. I personally think this is a very good thing. I know our comment section is going to be like, give us everything, give us everything, give us everything. And I've spoken about this a bit already because people are calling me out on Twitter because one thing that has been affected by this has been Nova. We'll talk more about Nova in the next third of the show. But first of all, they said the development on Nova has been slowed down because of this. That they're slowing things down. Still, I'm okay with it. I might be getting a little too old to play Nova. I know. But I'm okay with this. Cleo, what do you think of the idea of slowing down, pacing things out, giving things more of a chance to be an event, which means a little bit less content per year?
I'm with it. I'm with it, man. I think that coming out of the pandemic, we got spoiled. We got spoiled, man. Like, it was like almost every month or what, every other month, it was drop. Like, I remember receiving not screeners, but like promotional products from Disney. Like, I have the Loki one. I think I have whatever came after that. There's like three or four that just came back to back to back. So getting a chance to now enjoy it all the way through, that allows people to have go start with their rumors or speculation of what's coming next. Because a lot of the stuff, in my opinion, was getting predicted via social media beforehand. Like, I was seeing a lot of spoilers before some stuff even premiered, just because people kind of already knew or people were already up on game. They already got hip to game. So I like the fact we're slowing down. You said Loki's going to be coming out first, followed by what? Followed by which one?
I think Loki's going to come first, and then Secret Invasion will be the second show this year. I could be wrong. Secret Invasion could still be first, but I think Loki might be the one coming first.
You surprised me with the Ironheart pushback. I didn't know that one got pushed back. That's people have been ready for that. People have been talking about it.
Yeah, but no, it's not Ironheart? For sure yet. It's not for sure, but it looks like Ironheart might be coming next year.
All right. Well, I'm with it. I'm pro with this. I'm with this. I'm sorry, BD, that Nova gets pushed back a little more and more, bro. But it's okay. It's okay. It's
I know,
okay. That
I
means
know.
We did it. Perfection.
That's the only one I really want tomorrow, yeah. Yesterday, twice. Yeah. Jamie, how are you feeling about all this?
You know, I think it's a really smart decision. Personally, I don't get fatigue, like they say. I could watch a new thing every day and I would be thriving and great and not get sick of it. That's just me and content. You know me, I have no limit. But I think it's better. I think it's better for quality. I think it's, and you know what, even though I love watching all this stuff and I don't get sick of it, I have been losing a little bit of like the excitement in terms of just like a new thing is coming. And I'm like Quantumania, as I talked about, like, I wasn't that excited for that. And turns out I was right. But I just, I look forward to like, oh, only less things. Oh, I, that's more of an excitement gets to happen. And that's really cool. And, you know, and in terms of, like I said, quality, you know, I keep seeing so many tweets and stuff like, ever since Endgame, Marvel sucks, it's gone downhill. And I totally don't agree with that. I do think they had three pretty weak movies. But I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think a single one of those Disney Plus shows were misses. I loved every single one. And I think that's pretty impressive ratio. You know, a couple of the movies didn't work for me. But I think that now that they're stepping a little back, taking a little more time to focus on everything, I think that's only a good thing. Am I bummed I have to wait a little longer for the Marvels? Yeah, I want to see my ladies interacting, but I'm patient and it'll be great. And I think that this is only a positive thing. You're muted, BD.
You're muted, BD.
I have to agree. All the Disney Plus shows, there's certainly some I wanted to be better. But I didn't come away from any of them like, I didn't like that. I hated that. That was bad. There's some that I was like, man, these endings are getting a little repetitive, or, you know, I wish that this had happened a little bit sooner or differently, whatever. But overall, I think if they were spaced out more, everybody would have appreciated them more. And I know I probably would have. I think that maybe for me, the fatigue bit is real. I think there's just so much content to watch everywhere that sometimes it starts to feel like an obligation because I want to keep up with the MCU. I care about the MCU. I love the MCU. And then it's just so much to watch, so much to dissect, you know, which is, I can't complain. This is my job. I love doing this. There's nothing else I'd actually be good at. So good thing I'm doing this for a living. But I just feel like if these things were spaced out, we had five movies or five shows and three movies in 2020. And then we had four shows and four movies in 2021, right? Am I backwards? I don't know. We had WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, and Hawkeye. All in 2020. Had Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and Eternals all in 2020. That's a lot in 1 year. So I do think that giving these things space to breathe, giving people time to like meet the characters, meet the cast, spend time getting to know the cast online. One of the most fun things about the Infinity Saga was also watching Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. on press tours, watching Scarlett Johansson and Chris Hemsworth and Jeremy Renner, all these people, you know, have fun together. And I mean, like, that's what happened. Look at Star Wars. That cast had fun doing episode 7. They didn't really have as much fun doing 8 and 9, and then people stopped enjoying it as much too. So I don't know. Maybe there's a connection in enjoying the cast and crew having fun and having time to have fun. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see this. I also wonder if this is a Bob Chapek versus Bob Iger thing, because as soon as Bob Iger comes back, they're like, all right, hold on. Well, I know kind of the economy's not doing great, so maybe they are just tightening the belt a little bit, spending a little bit less money. Maybe Bob Iger's like, hold on, this is our most important brand right now. This is our cash cow. Marvel is, I don't know if there's anything else at Disney that makes money like Marvel does. Maybe Pixar, maybe Disney Animation. I don't know their numbers. But I do think Marvel makes a ton of money. They put out banger after banger at the box office. And they're like, listen, we can't slip. Let's figure it out. So Bob Iger might just be like, all right, maybe if we release a little bit less at a time, they'll make a little bit more each time. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm thinking might be happening.
Marvel getting that merch money, bro. Marvel ain't missed. Disney over there looking like, hey, man, we selling toys, helmets, hammers, shields, claws, arrows. Let these things breathe, damn it. Like, I just want to hear that conversation. I want to be in on that convo, man, for sure.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 stuff just started popping up at Target today.
Man.
The merch. The merch.
Yeah, the merch. Most important, man. One thing Disney gonna do, they gonna get that merch money.
All right, so that's, I feel like we all kind of are in agreement. I think some people in the comments are like, yeah, I want to see more, I want to see more. But ultimately, nobody is disagreeing that we're hoping this leads to higher quality. And it's not even that, I totally agree with Jamie. I see, it's like cool now. If you're like, you know, a 15-year-old TikToker to say the MCU sucks. Like it's, everybody, like it's kind of like there's two different, it's divided now. You have people who, you know, enjoy this stuff. And you have people who think it's cool to dunk on the MCU. And they always existed, but now it seems like there's more and they're louder. Whatever, dude. I just want to enjoy this stuff. I want to be able to take a second to breathe with it and have fun with it. And it seems like this is a step in that direction. Before we move on, anybody else want to weigh in on any of this? Give everybody a chance here.
Oh, I just don't agree. So I want you to think about, for each of you, what's the favorite thing you used to eat when you were a kid? Like, what was your favorite thing to eat as a child?
But Jamie? When I eat too much of it, I want something else.
Yeah, but no. What was your favorite thing that you ate?
I mean, probably gummy worms.
Gummy worms, Jamie.
Ravioli.
Ravioli, good.
I ate Lean Cuisine pizza every day of high school, so I guess maybe that's my answer. I don't know.
Nice. Which Lean Cuisine pizza, dear God?
The three meat Lean Cuisine pizzas every day. I ate one of those.
That sounds good. Now I want Lean Cuisine pizza. Cleo, what was your favorite thing to eat when you were in like when you were a kid?
I'm still eating it till today. Kraft mac and cheese.
Kraft mac and cheese. That fluorescent green, like. Orange, delightful blue box. Dear God.
Consistency.
You hear that, Kraft? We are open for business. You come on over here. Sponsor Phase Zero. It's the cheesiest. So I would forward that a lot of the stuff that we like when we are kids or from the past isn't really tied to the thing itself because we all kind of were like, ooh, these things are bad for us, right? But you remember the time. Like your mom making you macaroni and cheese. Like begging for the gummy worms, getting them out of the checkout aisle when you were a kid, right? I think that is motivating 85 to maybe 90% of all of this amongst all of us. Like the world has changed. Things are not as good. I am not 23 years old anymore. My back hurts all the time now. It sucks. I need a new computer chair right now. I'm going to talk to Cleo after we get off camera about getting myself a setup like him because I don't want to have scoliosis. So,
hey, I have it.
I think that is at the key of a lot of this. I don't know why there's a lot of media people, not you, BD, not you, Jamie. I saw a thing yesterday from another outlet that was talking about why Ant-Man 3 won't make freaking Avatar the Way of Water money and why that's a problem for Disney. I'm like, were you expecting Ant-Man to make as much money as a James Cameron movie? Like, what are we doing? It's insane. So I don't understand how we got here other than it's not 2018 or 16 anymore. I can't do a kickflip anymore without my knees hurting. And that is seems to be at the heart of a lot of this. So I don't know. They're spacing them out. One thing I would like to say, though, even if you do space them out, I would like to see an effort to have the same sort of breadth of storytelling we had in phase four, because you can say a lot of things about it. There are so many more POVs. There's so many more stories being told that will happen over phase four that plainly just did not happen in phase one, two, and three. Right? Just did not occur. Shang-Chi, not a thing. Like, Eternals, no. Like, Black Widow. Kevin Feige had to, like, dangle someone off of a roof to get Black Widow made. Like, I would still like those things and for those things not to be pushed to the side so that I can have Toy Story 5. Okay? I love Lightyear, by the way. Angus, I'm rooting for you. I wish they would give you a second one. Goodness gracious. So, those are my concerns. Because our colleague Nick Valdez, when we heard about everything getting pushed back, he's like, oh, my mom was really excited about Echo. And now he has to tell her, like, it's probably not happening this year. And, you know, with the way things go in digital distribution, it might not happen at all because, you know, we're deleting shows whole heart and deleting movies whole heart now. So if we're going to do this, I would just like to see some sort of commitment to the very viewpoints getting a chance to shine. You know.
So let me ask you this, though. I agree. I want that as well. Are you enjoying the MCU as much right now as you were in, like, you know, the Infinity Saga?
I am, but I know that we're in phase one of it. That's the thing. I feel like that's the other part of this, too. We're not at phase three. Like, 2018 and 19 were such a freaking rush because everything was on that mad dash to freaking Infinity War and Endgame that everything felt so freaking important because Thanos was right there. And then, like, for a couple of those movies, he had succeeded. And you're like, what happened? You have people going into, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp being like, how can there possibly be Ant-Man and the Wasp with their dust? Those funny memes of out of context. Oh, leaks from Ant-Man and the Wasp are just two piles of dirt. Like, it was funny back then, but we were at the end. Like, we're at the beginning now. I don't know. It just seems
I agree
really
with that
silly.
100%.
I don't know.
That's fair. I think maybe, you know, a couple of my favorite characters are gone and the new characters aren't. I like a lot of them a lot, but not as much as I love. Like, I mean, listen, I love Shang-Chi. I think Spider-Man's great. There's characters in Phase 4 that I'm really looking forward to seeing again. But I'd be lying if I said anybody's even coming close to Iron Man. If anybody's coming close to the relationship Iron Man and Captain America had, and we got to build that. I know, but I just feel like Phase 4 was a bit more all over the place when at least like Phase 1 had them all meet, or most of them meet, and then we got to look forward to other ones meeting, and we got to establish relationships between these characters that I found to be tremendously interesting pretty quickly. And honestly, pretty quickly, that took 4 years. That took from 2008 to 2012, and that took 5 movies. Five-time MCU champion. So
I would like to go on record to once again say that Phase 4 is my favorite phase, and that 3 of the Phase 4 projects cracked my top 10 MCU of all time. Actually, that's a lie. 4 of them did. And there was some stuff going on, but like they're meaty. They're different. They're risks. And while there are, I didn't like a couple of the movies. I didn't love a couple of movies. I do think Phase 4 is my favorite phase.
There are worse reviewed movies on Jamie's freaking letterbox than some of those Phase 4 movies. For sure, everybody. Like, for sure. And Tony's, dear God.
What'd you say, Cleo?
Jamie, Phase 4 is your favorite phase?
It gave me WandaVision, my favorite thing that's ever been created in this history of the universe. That helped. And I love Black Widow. I love Loki. I love Hawkeye. Like, all of those things cracked my top 10. So I think Phase 3 was the best phase in terms of I don't think there's a single, I do think Phase 3 is the best phase, but Phase 4 is my favorite phase.
I think Phase 2 and 3 were both better than 4. You had Guardians 1. Age of Ultron was such an underrated film. Phase 3, obviously Phase 3 is, you don't have Phase 3 without 1 and 2, so I understand Phase 4 can't do what Phase 3 did, but I don't know, man. Maybe we'll do a ranking of the phases one of these days coming up here, and that'll be, what could go wrong? Ooh, all right, y'all, well, this is why we have a whole panel of people here. We got a whole bunch of opinions, and that's what makes it all fun. Everybody in the comment section is having fun with us and being enthusiastic and supportive and open-minded with opinions, and nobody's being mean. I love that about the Phase Zero community, so thank you for that. We'll be right back in just one more minute. We have a lot of MCU news to talk about and not a lot of time to do it, so we're going to take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back to run through it all. See you in a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Phase Zero Season 3, Episode 8. It's been a fun one so far. I'm having a good time. Thank you, everybody, for having so much fun with us today. Yeah. All right. We got some MCU news to talk about. I'm a little out of breath. I had to run downstairs and grab my charger. I was at 8%. Oh, I'm at 3%. I was like, oh, my computer's going to die on the show. But we're back. We got MCU news to talk about. We got some bullet points here. I got the first one. Peyton Reed wants to direct Nova. I'm so sorry, Peyton. I love you. You're a tremendous person. I actually do enjoy your movies more than it seems a lot of people do online. I thought Ant-Man was great. I thought Ant-Man and the Wasp was great. I thought Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania was okay. But... I don't need Nova to be anything like Quantumania. I don't really need Nova to be much like the first two Ant-Man movies. I think Nova is a very different character from Ant-Man. I think Richard Rider is a different dude. I think he's more like Iron Man. I would love to see Jon Favreau do Nova. He has done Iron Man. He has done The Mandalorian. He's gone out into space. I think if I could have anybody right now, I think Jon Favreau might be one of my top choices to direct Nova, because he understands a character that's a little bit cocky, sometimes too cocky for his own good. He's a character who just tries to do a little too much when he's trying to help people and maybe not do it the perfect way, but has ways he wants to do it. I just think, man, if it's Richard Rider, I think Jon Favreau might be the guy for that for me. Peyton, I'd be happy with you working in the MCU again. And if it's Nova, I will support it. I'll be open-minded. I can't wait to see it. But Jon Favreau is the guy I think would be great for Nova.
I think, BD, listen.
I'm listening.
Hear me out here. Peyton Reed, he pitches you the idea for Nova. And he's like, all right, so I want you to picture intergalactic battles, big flashing lights, bring it on competition.
Yes.
That's what the Nova film would be.
When you put it that way.
Come on, BD. This man gave us Bring It On. This man gave us Spirit Fingers.
Listen.
Speaking my language.
He gave us
BD knows this.
Give me. No, stop it. You listen. I'm not about to say a bad thing about Peyton Reed. I like the guy quite a bit, okay?
Agreed. But this pitch it up, man. Like, yo, I get it. You're going off, of course, Quantumania and everything he's done already. But, bro, like, he's already put the work in. He's already put the work in. That's my thing. If he's put the work in and it's seen the level of success, give him a new story, give him a new character, and let him go play.
I don't think he'd make a bad Nova movie. I just, based on these three Marvel movies, and yes, Bring It On. In Peyton's movies, I don't find myself really invested in the characters and attached to the characters, with the exception being the relationship between Ant-Man and Cassie in the first movie, kind of in the second movie. There's really not too much else that I've found myself emotionally invested in Peyton's Marvel movies. I want to care about Nova. I want to know why that he's doing everything the world mind tells him he can't. I want to see this guy become a freaking space lieutenant. You know, I want to see him get with Gamora under Annihilation's control and think he's about to rule the world, you know? So there's things I want to see that I think Jon Favreau could do really well. I saw somebody say Sean Levy would be good too. I think that'd be interesting as well. I think Sean Levy's a pretty good director. I like him a lot as well. I don't know that Peyton Reed has nailed the tone I want for a Nova movie, which is more in line with Iron Man and maybe even Free Guy / Stranger Things. But hey, Free Guy was great, Aaron. I don't want to see that face. Free Guy's a great movie. One of the best surprises of the year it came out.
Fine. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, fine is a great one.
Fine.
All right, let's keep it moving.
All right, so we got Anthony Mackie casting doubt on Sam Wilson leading the Avengers as we all try to figure out, you know, are there Avengers? Do they exist? Do they know things? Let's find out. So talking to Empire Magazine, Mackie said, Sam is the only character without superpowers. He's just a regular dude hanging out with a bunch of weirdos. Being from New Orleans, I've been in a few fights, and heart and charisma never helped me in a fight. That usually just got me beat up. So that might cause an issue when you go fight somebody like Thanos. who does everybody think is going to be the leader if it's not Sam?
I mean, Carol, right? Like,
I think it's Carol, yeah. Carol for sure.
It's got to be Carol. But I also think Sam's going to be heavily involved in calling the shots. This man's got a military background. He's worked with Captain America, Steve Rogers. He is Captain America. You know.
That was a really good quote. I'm glad I didn't read it ahead of time because that really was funny.
Being charming is a superpower, yes. Anthony. Goodness gracious. You'll be all right. You'll figure out. You'll try to have reason with them or something.
Do you think Anthony Mackie will be able to work into the movies Sam Wilson smoking a cigar?
Oh, yeah. Well, come on. That's happening in New World Order at some point early in New World Order, right?
Yeah. There's got to be a moment with Sam Wilson and Harrison Ford's Thaddeus Ross just sitting there smoking fat stogs.
Just... That's going to be a good visual.
How bold of you to assume it won't happen in the press tour?
Oh, it'll happen in the press tour. I've seen Anthony Mackie in between interviews just go stand right outside the hotel in New York City street just to smoke a cigar, and he doesn't care how many people are going to come up to him. That man just wants his cigar. On the set of Avengers Infinity War, this man fully suited up as Falcon came over during the interviews. He's sitting there with Sebastian Stan just chilling, smoking a cigar. He's Mackie lives his life. I respect it. I respect the hell out of the way. Mackie is Mackie, and he never is anything else. Mm.
Shout out to Anthony Mackie, man. Like, it's crazy to see just the career that this man has had even before getting, you know, being in the MCU. Like, his resume is so stacked. He has been a part of some blockbuster films that are just very memorable as well. I mean, the 8 Mile thing is still the funniest thing to me to know that he went from that stage of getting destroyed by M to being, you know, an Avenger. But yeah, I agree with
a real good marriage.
Yeah. This guy don't want to battle he shook because ain't no such things as halfway crooks, man. Shout out to Anthony Mackie for sure, an OG.
The Hurt Locker,
was he in a film called The Bureau with Matt Damon?
The Bureau.
Mm-hmm. I could have swore I was watching the Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in it, but that's the name of that movie.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
He is the Adjustment Bureau. He is in that. He
popped up in that. I was like, what the hell is this, bro? Nah, his resume is too stacked, man.
And he's got a movie coming to Netflix, I think, this week. I just interviewed him for it. I think it releases on Friday. You can find this interview on comicbook.com. It's called We Have a Ghost. Pretty funny little Amblin tribute movie. Mackie's the man. And I don't know if he'll be like the guy at the Avengers, but he will be one of the top ranking, you know, calling the shots Avengers. And I don't know. We'll see.
Is it only Carol, though? Like, before we move on, is Carol the only answer as far as who's going to be leading or who could lead?
I don't think Shuri is a leader in the Avengers yet. I think Shuri's got a lot to learn. I don't think they're going to let a child who scoffs at tradition be the leader of the Avengers just yet. Shang-Chi is not the leader of the Avengers yet. No way. Spider-Man, another kid. I don't know if that kid's ready to. It's Carol. It's got to be Carol.
Fantastic Four is not set up to come out before this, right? At all?
Fantastic Four does drop before Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars. But, man, if they just come in and run the show, that'd be crazy.
But it's Reed.
Reed comes in. Look at me. Look at me.
I'm
the captain now.
Exactly.
Bro, I want Reed, bro.
I'm telling you, I just tweeted this the other day. Tom Holland is going to be showing up to the set of the next Avengers movie like that Drake video. I know way too many people here right now that I didn't know last year. Who the
hell y'all? For sure.
All right. We got a couple more to get through here right while we wind down.
All right. You know... I called them this on Twitter, and I stand by it. These dirty little teasers, Mike Coulter and Kristen Ritter, keep hanging out together and saying stuff like this. Hey, Power Man, little devil emojis. And here's the thing. Here's what I think. I think that these two are just friends, and they like to go hiking together. And they like to... I really think that's just what it is. And like they like to like trick us. I don't think it's anything more than that. I know I did some research to see if maybe it could be a romantic thing. No, Mike's been married to the same woman for 20 years. Although while Googling that, I learned he's also second cousins with Viola Davis. I didn't know that. Fun little fact I learned today. I think that they are just pals and they like to hang out and they like to do things like this to drive all of us insane. But if it does mean they're coming back, you guys... you guys know Jessica Jones is my girl. I would love to see these two together again. Daredevil's coming. It's a possibility, but I do think that they're trolling us. What do you guys think?
I think they're coming back, and this photo has nothing to do with it. That's my thoughts. I definitely think she's back. I think he'll be back. Columbia, South Carolina native Mike Coulter. Shout out to the Gamecocks. Even though he went to FSU, it's okay. But
college reps are ridiculous. You guys be gangbanging. You guys be like hella gangbanging on each other for no reason, bro. The rivalry is not that serious, bro. But I get it. I get it. Aaron, what do you think, man?
I was just gonna ask, is Bernthal in the hiking group? Like, is Charlie Cox in the hiking group? But they out of frame. They're like over here.
Bernthal took the picture.
He took the picture. Okay, there we go. Because I wonder, I'm like, I'd be offended. Like, Finn Jones is just somewhere like, no one called me. Poor Finn Jones.
Let's be, if there was anybody we thought might not get the call to hang out, I feel like for some reason we'd all just assume it would be Finn Jones who gets left out of the party.
Listen, Adam is going to text him right now. I'm going to ask Adam to text Finn Jones right now and ask him, like, hey, are you in the hiking group? Like, do you have any recommendations on trail shoes? But I think they're totally coming back. I think they're coming back too.
I think at least most of them are coming back. I agree. And John Bernthal's busy doing his awesome podcast. Yeah, that podcast is crazy. I've listened to clips from that podcast. That man had to hear some stories. All right, let's keep it moving.
Okay, so we got some Spider-Verse pop figures. Somewhere Layla, who is waiting to meet Pedro Pascal right now, is like, no, I'm missing Pop Talk. So we got Spider-Bite, who actually originated, I believe, in the Spider-Verse event. New design for her. She's linked to like the web of life and destiny in that event. So she'll probably have a lot to do with this multiverse, Spider-Verse that they have to traverse in the movie. We also already, I think we already saw like images of the vulture, like the Leonardo da Vinci-esque, medieval vulture that looks like the Vitruvian Man. That's going to be cool looking. Like cool. All this, probably the most fun part of the Spider-Verse movies is the wild designs for all the alternate Peters and all the alternate spider people. And they went crazy in the first one. So, you know, like from some of these figures that are released, I'm like, oh, it's going to be even more insane this time around. I cannot wait. Of course, it's my number one movie. Are you guys excited to see what other weird spider variants are out there?
Spider-Bite looks dope.
Yeah.
Spider-Bite looks dope. I'll be honest. I've been out of the pop game for a minute. I started buying too many hot toys. I was like, all right, I could completely stop buying Funkos and buy like three Hot Toys figures a year instead. Or two. Three's a lot. But I decided to start doing that because if you look around here, I mean, look up at the ceiling here. This is like, that's like a small fraction of what's going on. They line the whole ceiling. We got pop figures all over the house at my house. And I'm like, all right, listen. I gotta slow my roll here. So aside from some of the Comic-Con exclusives, I haven't really bought any, but these could get me back.
Really cool. I'm digging the Spider-Bite design for sure. This was a character that I did not know would actually be in Into the Spider-Verse Part 2, but this looks really, really cool. So I'm excited to see her in the film for sure.
Yeah.
We saw TJ freak out, and I believe someone else in our Slack freak out when they showed off Scarlet Spider, Ben Reilly. He's in here too, as the releases, and he looks like he's inked like it's the early 90s. So there's like excessive shadow in his eyes or half his head. It looks great. Just everybody's wallets in the chat are just crying. Poor Nicole. She said she's going to buy all them for her kid. Godspeed, Nicole. That pop box is going to be huge, huh?
The president of the Namor fan club in the comments section, Nicole Drum. All right. We got one more thing here before we wrap up today's show, and it's about Iron Man. Hey, I might say we save the best for last. If you have my opinion, you agree. Iron Man, no longer on the table, according to Steven Broussard. Broussard is the EP on, or the producer on Quantumania, and he's the VP of production at Marvel Studios. He's talking to IO9, and he said this while talking about generational heroes. Quote, after these first 10 years of Marvel storytelling, torches are being passed, like with Robert Downey Jr. no longer being on the table and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a new generation stepping to the forefront, which again has always happened in the comics. Yes, it has happened. This quote, that's the end of the quote, by the way. This quote has gone everywhere saying that like it's not happening. Robert Downey Jr. is off the table. It's never. I really think what he meant was like, yes, right now in this current phase, we don't have Iron Man. We don't have Robert Downey Jr. I still think he's back in Secret Wars. I'd be kind of surprised if not. That said, with Bobby Iger coming in and possibly tightening the budget the way I think he might be, as I alluded to earlier in the show, man, getting Robert Downey Jr. to be in Secret Wars, you could probably make a whole different movie. So I don't know. It's going to be expensive to get him back. I don't believe we've seen Robert Downey Jr. play a version of Tony Stark for the last time. Maybe that's just denial. But I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. And I wish Secret Wars was honestly a little bit further out so that it could be more of like a Force Awakens type phenomenon when they all do come back. But I understand that, you know, a lot of people aren't getting any younger. And if we're going to get them back, we got to do it when we can. But I don't think this is the kind of slamming the door forever type of quote it is that a lot of the headlines seem to be implying. What do you guys think?
I agree with you.
It just seems pretty straightforward. He's just saying, we're not using Iron Man anymore. We're introducing new heroes.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
I don't know. This is the same man that told us the Young Avengers isn't happening. I don't believe him about that either. I don't know why. Steven Broussard, I'm sure you're a lovely person. I keep calling you a liar. But I am. We're playing werewolf out here, apparently, with him. Because, I like, listen, if there's one thing, if you go to the board and, like, oh, you need movie, we need money to do, like, some weird thing, like, just some strange project. But if you go to them and be like, I need this money so we can get Robert Downey Jr. back and the movie will double its gross, like, they're going to give it to you. You know what I mean? You can't go to a bank and be like, I'd like a loan for 1,000 chili dogs. But if you like go to get like a house, like they'll listen to you, you know?
I going into Endgame, I thought there was no way they kill Iron Man strictly from a business perspective. I was like, that dude's just a cash cow. He influences every freaking story. And they use him to market Spider-Man movies. Like Spider-Man is like the biggest superhero Marvel owns. And they used Iron Man to market that because they recognize that Iron Man sells tickets. So I don't know. It is. I do think you're right, Aaron. If they were like, hey, we need the money to get this guy back, they know it's an investment they're going to see a return on. And Downey's team knows it, too. That's why he might be the first actor to get paid $1 billion for one movie.
I don't think he comes. Yo, I don't think you bring him back for Secret Wars, BD. I got to be honest, man. I don't think you do it.
Where do you bring him back, if ever?
Then later. Like, it's weird. It's going to sound crazy to say out loud, but I still think it's too early. Like, I still feel that way. Like, Rob, we haven't even seen Robert in anything of that same kind of caliber since, as far as the acting side of him goes. He doesn't need to. The man is well off, but I still think it's too early. And then it's like he's the saving grace of everything. All right, cool. If Tony Stark is back to do it again. Nah, then we're gonna kill him again.
It's my boy. I'll watch Iron Man watch paint dry. Okay, I love Iron Man. Sure. No, I agree, though. I do feel like Secret Wars, it'll have been 7 years, but I will think it's been too soon. Yeah, Downey really hasn't been in anything big. I mean, he did Doolittle, and it, you know, 1 week in theaters for that. Theaters decided to shut down for 8 months. So I'm not saying Doolittle was the cause, but it was a movie. No, I'm just playing. I love Downey, and I never saw Doolittle, so I can't really dog on it too hard. I just read the reviews. He's got Oppenheimer coming up, and I'm sitting here like, man, I love doing that comic photo with all these celebrities. If I were to get Downey, if Warner Brothers were to hook it up with the Downey interview, can I bring that Iron Man comic book to the Oppenheimer junket and take this photo? Because when am I ever going to get this chance again? I don't know.
Well, take the chance, bro. Take the chance. If it pops up, take it.
I've only ever had one person not take the photo. That one person I asked for photo, they didn't take it. And everyone else is cool about it. They're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I've never tried to do it outside of the movie they're promoting, though. So got this would it. Be that would be the first time. But we'll see. I'm talking to Jon Favreau on Monday. I could do it with him too, with an Iron Man book at the Mandalorian Junket. But we'll see. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. All right, y'all. Well, this was a fun show. We got to wrap it up. I'm talking to Jeff Loveness in about 40 minutes. If you have a question for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania writer, Jeff Loveness, Avengers, the Kang Dynasty writer, Jeff Loveness, send it my way on Twitter. If you're listening to us in podcast form, well, the interview probably already happened, but you can go to the Phase Zero channel on Friday. We will have a video with Peyton Reed's insights. There are some spoilery insights I can't talk about just yet. And Jeff Loveness's spoilery insights, which I haven't even gotten just yet. And we will have a whole video breaking all that stuff down, dissecting Ant-Man from the people who made it, coming to the Phase Zero channel Friday afternoon. I hope you will watch it, love it, subscribe, leave, thumbs up and comments and all that fun stuff. Jamie, any last words for today's show?
I just want to say that I wish I could go back in time and tell 13-year-old me about Zero on Zero, because she would lose her mind. I still have my whole DVD I bought the day it was released, 20-year-old DVD. So this is cool. It was nice to meet you, Cleo.
Love, JB. Love, love.
Love it. Aaron?
It's at Something Like Hornet on Twitter. I would like to shamelessly plug, I'm doing a panel for VirtuousCon on Sunday with a bunch of comics creators about the differences between indie and big two publishing. And we've got like Vita Ayala and Brandon Thomas and Nicholas Draper Ivy, who writes Static. All the milestone peoples in there. It's a Black History Month celebration. Y'all should come through and listen to us. I'll be talking about it on Twitter. So if you want to hear us talk about Milestone or Miles Morales or any of these people who bring the comics that we watch on TV or on movies to life, come through and hang out.
That's awesome. Aaron. Cleo, thank you so much for joining us on Phase Zero today. We will give you the floor to say your farewells to the amazing Phase Zero community.
Shout out to the Phase Zero community. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, BD, Jamie. Thank you guys for having me on as a guest. The 20-year anniversary of Holes is actually coming up in April. And to celebrate it, I decided to surprise a bunch of people who go to this event called Be Our Guests, where they just go and sing Disney songs and they just sing along. They're just in a good vibe in the theater together. They had no idea that there would be a live performance from me. So I showed up and I performed the Dig It song from the film for the very first time ever in history of my life. So the video's up on YouTube. You can guys go and check that out. And yeah, man, I really did have a blast being here talking with you guys, man. Thank you guys so much. And I look forward to the next time we get the chance to connect.
Oh, man, we hope to have you on the show again sometime, Cleo. Dude, you were a great guest. The comment section, especially on Twitch right now, is lighting up with love for you. Thank you so much, Cleo. Thanks to the Phase Zero community for giving Cleo such a warm welcome. Make sure to head over to comicbook.com/Marvel for Jenna's interviews with the cast of Quantumania. Subscribe to the channel. Go follow Cleo at Cleo Thomas. And we'll see you next week, everybody.